Multi-domain operation is take as a whole in the alliance. It's not only about how we integrate, the physical domain. This is about all the cognitive, all the virtual part that needs to be integrated at the same time, which is a huge challenge. But for that, commanders need to understand the other domains.
In this episode of the NATO Senior Mentors podcast, we are joined by retired French Lieutenant General Pascal Delergue. Graduating as a fighter pilot in 1988, he spent most of his career flying the Mirage and M2000 as an air defense pilot. During this operational period, he participated in several major exercises, including the Tactical Leadership Program, Red Flag, and Maple Flag, and shared his expertise within NATO structures. In 2017, he was appointed as Chief of Staff of the Air Force Command in Bordeaux, Mérignac. And following year, upon promotion to Major General, he assumed the role of Deputy Commander of the Air Force Command. In 2019, he took over as the Deputy Commander of NATO Allied Air Command, headquartered in Ramstein Air Base in Germany. This position marked his final active military role. Since retiring, he has worked as a consultant on command and control for NATO Air and serves as a NATO senior mentor.
General Delergue, welcome to Utrecht. I'm so glad that you took the effort to come all the way to gloomy Utrecht. At the moment, it's not the best weather, to visit us here at the NATO Command and Control Center of Excellence. And we're really looking forward to our conversation with your special background.
Yeah, very happy to have me here. I am very pleased to do that. About my background, I'm a fighter pilot by trade, and after that I go through all the responsibility from the squadron to the base commander. And at the end, after several tours in the headquarters, joint, and even the air headquarters, I go through all the operational position, mainly the air operational center director and the GFAC commander in Africa for about two years. So, and at the end, my last tour in NATO as a deputy commander, Allied Air Command.
Well, sir, I think from that perspective, it's really interesting to tap a little bit into the air part. And you worked at the operational level, really at the national level in France, as well as you worked at the NATO level on the air side. And we always try to step into what's your idea of C2. So what would be the essential elements of C2 for you as a deputy commander in AIRCOM, as well as a DFAC for African Command in France?
It's a very good question. This is, if you ask the question to many people, they probably focus, you know, on the chart with a drawn line or full line, dot line or something like that. But this is much more than that. First of all, C2 is relationship. Just because this is how you have the connection to, as a commander first, just because when you're talking about C2, you're talking about command. First, as a commander to your subordinate, to the, I would say, from the top to the bottom, and also at the commander's level as well. So, and I will come back probably in other question on the, we need to build the trust and confidence. This is mainly relationship at the beginning, at the C2, this is relationship. Second point is about the, I call it connectivity, but connectivity is a, yeah, it's a word that sometimes is difficult to define accurately, but this is more about CIS first. You need to have the right tool, the right connection at every level. And it's much more important right now, after the, I would say, 23rd February 2024. And we come back on a high intensity conflict. So, oh, crisis right now for NATO, but conflicts in itself. So this is really important. And the third point I will see to is mainly also about sharing information. Just because if you want to command, you need to understand. And to understand, you need to have the right information at the right place at the right time. So C2 is needs to be understood as a whole and not only as a chain of command in itself. And that's why it's so important most of the time that people think about the relationship connection that we need to build at the beginning. And it's from the beginning. It's not waiting the crisis or the conflicts to do that. It's be prepared to be in position the day we need really to engage forces. It means that you have already all those connections. And C2 is so important. And this is my understanding on the C2.
Well, thank you very much. I really want to like to go back on that. You said the first part, it's really about this human part of it, the human trust and the human ability or willingness perhaps to share. Can you tap a little bit on where you coming from France and working within a whole French operational level, how that is different when you are in this multinational level on the cultural side? Was it easier or more difficult?
Easier or difficult? Well, it's not easier. Sure, it's difficult. Yes, just because this is an understanding about how the C2 need to be really implement, and we have, and you know, but at the joint level, always struggling sometime to understand from an army, navy, air side, airmen, how we put the C2 in a joint fashion, I would say. This was joint. And now we are talking about multi-domain operations, so we come back on a little bit more. So it's a little bit more complicated on that. But the challenge are the same. The only thing that is really different, it's the cultural piece. And you're right to underline this point. The cultural is really important. And in the multinational environment, if you are not aware about the cultural piece of the other nations, it's difficult after that to get the right C2 at the right place. So needs to be understood, but you need to be educated for that. So it's not by chance that you think about it. You need to talk with those people that are different culture. And after that, it's a mix that the commander needs to use the best of each nation. And I would say that that's the beauty of this multinational, just because if in a national environment, you're not able to push really your idea, or it's difficult to have this C2 well understood. It's difficult, just we are in the same cultural environment. But in multinational, you can use some other nations that help you understand and get the right approach about the C2.
And you really mentioned the importance of relationships and how you now can make sure that you start to have those relationships, of course, today. And I think within the Air Force, it always has been a multinational approach. And it's probably also within the Air Force that this idea of supporting interrelationships construct, it originated within the air domain, probably because of a scarcity of resources. And it is really important to talk about how can we now combine that. So what's your experience with this SSI concept as Deputy Air Commander within AIRCOM?
It's a very good approach to state by the SSI, the supporting interrelationship, just because this is really how I understand the C2 right now. No, with the multi-domain operation that we need to have. I don't know if it's AIR that really put the concept on the table at the first time, but for sure, from an AIR standpoint, we need to. There's no line on the map. We need to look about 360 degrees. You talk about the scarcity of the capability, so we need to be efficient. We need to be sure that we are using the right assets at the right moment, and there's no need to be stuck in a drawer to do that, just because we can bring some assets from far from the front, and it's really important that we understand this, which is sometimes difficult at the Joint Force Commander level. That's why we are trying to put that on first. But about the SSI, for me, right now is the only way if you want to integrate all the capability that we have. And I highlight a little bit more about cyber and space, the new domain that brings something new. And we are not really owning the assets. The nation, I'm talking about NATO in itself, the nations are owning the assets. And we are asking for some effect or actions to the nations to do that. And as a commander, I'm really happy that if they can provide the effect, I don't care about owning the assets. This is the result, which is really important. And this is all about the SSI, meaning that you will have a supported command, and I can, listen or hear some of them said, yeah, but the GFCs, if we are focusing on this SSI part, they are no more in position to command. I said, no, this is not how it happens. You're still a supported command for the campaign to provide the effect. But at least you can have in some phases, and I will take the Control A280 missions, will probably AIRCOM is in the best position, or the AIR domain is in the best position to be the supported command, just because they know about it, the action, and they can integrate and coordinate all the action on the terrain. And that's why it's important to understand the principle, the tenets of the SSI. Is just now the new way to execute or to implement the C2 on the terrain. And it's not all about that, but it's really important that people understand this. I would say that I used to say, get rid of the owning capability principle. This is no more the case. And there's a lot of example to that. In my experience as a GFAC commander in Africa, I already experimented that. So that for me, it's not something new. I was supporting three GFCs, really. Barkhane operation, Barkhane for all the Sahel environment, the Central Africa Republic support operation Sangaris, and to the special operation forces as well. So, same means from the air side and supporting three different commanders on the terrain. So this is not new, but people need to understand a little bit more. And there's a lot of example about SSI. When you take the example about the ballistic missiles defense in NATO, this is using some assets that are not under the operational control of the Comercom. They are US assets, but we are using them to do the missions. It's a good, the submarines, to take another example.
Yeah, I think we also talked in previous podcasts a little bit about it. And of course, you also always have then the challenges of mandates of nations. And so it's complicated, but that's where a commander comes in probably to manage complicated or complex.
Yeah, I don't say that it's easy. I didn't say that it's easy, but yes, it's complex. I think that's the most important thing, and people are at the commanders level, mainly at the beginning, they have to change their mind. The mindset needs to be focused on how or what will be the best entities that can coordinate and synchronize in space, in time. And if you think about it right now, SSI is very simple.
Well, thank you for that part on SSI. I will give over so that we will cover a lot of ground. I will come back a little bit on the MDO part that you already started.
Hey, Pascal, also from my side, good to see you again. Honored that you visit the center to do this podcast with us. We worked previously in exercises together and with the training audience to teach them and train and educate them a bit on the C2 parts. What you mentioned, it's interesting already that we talked about the combination of NATO and nations, the construct, national responsibilities working together. If you translate it, I think, to a command and control structure that NATO designed, I think we can separate it in a NATO command structure setting and NATO force structure. I think that's also a relation where NATO and nations, because the force structure, we're looking at nations to build up capabilities. That's really important to have those elements, I think, operate efficiently together and integrate together. As Deputy Commander Aircom, you're not only we're, I think, working with the air domain, but it's also with the space domain, which is the responsibility for Aircom. If you look at this construct, is there a difference that works within for the air domain and also for the space domain? Or what is your experience in that? Or is it mainly air?
Yeah, I wanted to just clarify one point. When you're, most of people are, you know, opposed a little bit about NCS, the NATO command structure, and the NFS, the NATO infrastructure, they are all part of NATO, just because this is the nation that put the people and the manpower in there. So, and you mentioned it, this is really integration that we need to think about, and not to have, you know, dedicated I would say operation to the NCS and dedicated operation to the NFS, even if the NFS are more. The construct was during the NRF. And mostly this is focusing on the non-Article 5 crisis, mostly, and mainly on the outside of the AOR, of the responsibility of secure. But I'm very not careful, but it's something that I didn't want to put NCS against NFS. This is a war in itself, just because this is the nation that contributes, you know, to both structure. To come back on your question about air and space, it's a domain in itself right now, but you know that NATO doesn't have any assets by itself. The nations own the assets, which is a difference. But I would say, I don't care. As I just explained, you don't need to own the assets to create effects. Just because you will ask to the nations, like just in cyber is a good example as well. And the nation is, they are the will to provide the capabilities and provide the effects. It works as well. And when I see right now, how the NATO Space Center and the NATO Space Operations Center now is growing up, it was amazing. It is amazing. Just because this is exactly the... And it's different from the air, just because they are building the capabilities without any, you know, tool at the beginning, tool or satellites or facilities on the ground. The nations owns that, but they are able to integrate all the national space center, which is the beauty of this structure. Just because every nations now contribute to the understanding of the space environment, and with a centralization sometime in AIRCOM. And you know that space is not AIRCOM in itself. The commanders is the same. But space is part of the space domain. And it's not AIRCOM in the structure. This is many administrative things, but need to be sure that we make the difference. And after that, the AIRCOM has built, or the Space Center has built really the capability through all the other entities, GFCs, all the services, as well, MARCOM, LANCOM, and the Strike for NATO, and everywhere. And it makes now the right connection as a C2 entity. And I think we'll see in the coming years the huge difference. And right now, we need to think also, and this is a good example also, about the connection that we need to have with the civilians entities, just because there's a lot about the cuts in there, the commercial on the shelf, just because this is the relationship that needs to be built at the beginning of this setup, that will probably show that space will be, and at the end, I think, I don't know if it will be, it's a domain in itself, but the structure, they could be switched to a dedicated command, probably. I don't know if it's answer your all the questions, just because we put NFS and NCS in a...
Now, I think it does perfectly, because what you see is, it's also, this is what's laid down currently in doctrine and how our structure, maybe the peacetime establishment, crisis establishment system still works as laid down in the doctrine. But the new domains, exactly as you explained, and how they operate space and in cyber, is completely different, because if you see that in the interaction with the NATO force structures, the units that we know are air, land, and maritime units. So like in the old joint thinking in the way and how to integrate, build up forces, build up some forces, assign forces, have some capabilities available. But the other domains exactly show that in a way it's not needed to create effect, but because exactly in the example that you said in the relation building that the NATO Space Center did is exactly an example. So, but is that still needed in a old NCS NFS structure? We need the assurance that we have people to create stuff.
Yeah, it's good ideas that you provide there. We are not thinking about space. We are not thinking about NCS or NFS. This is a NATO entities with the nations,
yeah,
which could be, yeah, the same, but it brings some new way of creating the relationship between the entities and the nations, and nations are more involved in the domain by this way, and not focusing on only one single entities for the physical domain. And space is also a good example about the SSI. Just because we are working, we are forced to work as a supporting relationship with the nations all the time. So that's a good example about how now we need to make an enhancement or evolution or development of a C2.
Yeah, you see it drives, I think, a bit of the C2 dynamics and traditional relationships, and also a shift in roles, responsibilities, and authorities, because who is allowed to talk with your counterpart or civilian counterpart, or does it all need to go through the tunnel that's called SACEUR? It's impossible for him to do it as well. So if you're like in the whole delegation of authorities, the relationship building, that's a dynamic. I think that's a journey that we started. And I think that's building the confidence and trust, and also delegation of authorities, that we can create basically the effects that we want to, whoever that we need to, military, non-military.
Delegation of authority, that's another part of the multi-domain operation, but come back on that a bit later.
Yeah, but thanks again. Yep. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. We already talked a little bit about multi-domain operations. And so the NATO multi-domain operation concept, as it has been approved May last year, and it was endorsed by all nations in Vilnius. So sometimes people are still discussing about it, but I'm saying, yeah, well, the definition is out there. There's no discussion. But obviously, at the national level, every nation was developing already their own kind of concept on MDO. We know the US has had very worked out concepts for the Navy, the Air Force, and also the Army separately. And I really wondered what was going on that part within France. So have you been developing your own MDO kind of structure within France, parallel to what to these developments on the NATO level?
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to highlight the fact that this concept of the multi-domain operation in NATO, I think, from it's my own opinion, that it's a very good start, just because the vision and the definitions and the concept, this is simple, clearly mentioned. We can argue about the some of the specific wording inside, but this is enough, I would say, clear to understand that this is something big. And I will come back a little bit on that. For sure, France is really already at mainly at the same time, just because as NATO is really dealing with this multi-domain operation, France, we call it multi-champ, multi-milieu, which is a multi-field a little bit and a multi-physical domain in itself. But it's just to mention that it's much more than the joint, what we used to, add for it's decades and the big changes for this multi-domain operation is that we integrate new domains and at a speed that has changed. This is not only about the speed in itself, it's to have, and you mentioned it quite clearly in your report, I don't remember exactly the project animation, and just because this is a at the right place at the right time. This is exactly what you need to understand when we are talking about speed of relevance. This is a term that we have used in the Jazz Cities Conference, I think three or 4 years ago. So, and in France, there also have a concept, quite good one, but not addressing enough about the C2 in there. And this is what probably sometime we are missing, even in a multi-domain operation in NATO. This is how we address the C2 part, just because this is one of the big changes in multi-domain operation, just because you have all the non-military instrument of power that you need to integrate, even if at the beginning, and I was one of the commanders that focused more on the military side at the beginning, just because there's enough in there just to change the mindset of the people, the educational piece, just because multi-domain operation, this is a take as a whole in the alliance. It's not only about how we integrate, I would say, the physical domain. This is about all the cognitive, all the virtual part that needs to be integrated at the same time, which is a huge challenge. But for that, commanders need to understand the other domains.
So I think that's a very vital insight. So when we look at where this synchronization needs to take place, we're on the journey to look into that, as we see that probably those instruments of power obviously are at the national level, and something needs to be at the national level to get in those 32 nations actually some synchronization with other instruments of power. And at the multinational level, we're looking at our counterparts. Where are our counterparts? Obviously, the European Union, you obviously. But when you look at the operational level, you would like to have those conversations today and you would like to start those relations today. And I'm wondering, when we are now trying to get on the journey of implementing multi-domain operations, the roadmap is actually, it goes to 2030. NATO wants to be able to conduct multi-domain operations in 2030. And that is obviously an endeavor that is not so much within the NATO enterprise itself, but it's definitely at the national level. So what's your view on that part of the journey to be able to do that multinational cooperation, that multinational sharing of information, as you pointed it, when you look at how that now is being developed within France? Where are those challenges at the national level, looking at that roadmap 2030?
Now, it's interesting the way you you presented this multi-domain operation, just because it's for sure the national side of the multi-domain operational is key, and we need to build this relationship. But should already exist, just because, as I mentioned, NATO, this is a nation. So at the end, all the 32 nations need to be part of the construct of the model of the NATO structure. But there's a lot of international organization that we are most of the time at a joint level, or operational level, I would say, or even at a tactical one. We are focused on the non-governmental organization or some international organization, they are not nation. There's multicultural as well, just as us. And I think that at the beginning, which is probably the focus that we need to have, and it's a very good point, how we build this relationship in advance and not waiting the crisis or the conflict to say, which kind of organization will be impacted or will be part of the conflicts that we need to focus on, just to be sure that on the terrain we are not, or we are, just because we need to also said that the focus, it's not only about military when we are talking about an end state. There's a huge part for the diplomatic, economic, or finance. There's not only the military, so we need to be aligned. Stratcom is a good example, just because if we're doing some messages from the military side, and this is exactly the contrary from the international organization and a non-governmental organization, this will be a mismatch in there. So that's why it's really important that we can build this this relationship in advance. I think we are not yet there. This is something that is really people, commanders, I think they're really aware about that, but we need to build it from during the training, mainly all the exercises, just because this will be key to prepare the commanders to do that. And not all the commanders, at every level, the staff level as well. And on the terrain, this is key to have those organizations linked to us. That's why the liaison officers we are talking, it's not mainly focusing on the military side, meaning that in the air headquarters, we need some Navy, land forces, but also some organizations. And to take a good example, during the first weeks of the invasion of Russia in Ukraine, we have in the Aircom headquarters a Eurocontrol liaison officer, liaison personnel inside the headquarters just for the airspace management. which is really key in crisis like that, just because we are still have some commercial airlines that are flying in the environment. So just to take this, and now we have maintained Aircom has maintained this connectivity, and now Eurocontrol is always part of the, just to take this example. So it needs to be prepared. And for sure, the nation, they are part of the connection till the beginning. Or if they're not, this is a big issues or big challenge.
Other interesting part for me is in the MDO journey is that obviously this is also about integrating those two new warfighting domains within the construct of NATO. And that also brings questions towards the component commands versus the joint forces commands. And you have been in one of those component commands that was on the journey on integrating a new component command, the space part within it. And I was wondering about your view on the relationship with that. And then we can get into this relations on those specific commands with the non-military part. But first on the relation with those joint forces commands from the component commands, where will this MDO concept change that?
Oh, it will, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, this is all about trust and confidence. At the commander's level, whatever the structure will be, supporting, full line, as I explained, if the commanders know each other quite well, and they are used to, talk to each other all the time, it will work. If not, whatever the structure will be, or the C2, it doesn't work. And that's, there are many people say that all the time it's obvious, but there's not really a focus on that. And needs to be focused. This is the main important thing, whatever the structure. And after that, need to explain. I remember it was my first exercise as a deputy commander air in Aircom, Trident juncture, I think 19-1, something like that, in 2019, and this was the first time we really experiment a different JOA, joint operation area, so different commanders with the air component commander already with his assets, and trying to support all the JOA. And I remember that at the beginning, there's some few joint, at the joint level commanders, even the staff say, it won't work. This is not able to do that. At the end of the exercise, I remember Admiral Franchetti, General Buller were amazing. We never have so, I would say, synchronized effect from the air side, just because we have a theater look about what's going on. So easy to even put some forces at the right time, at the right place. And just because it relied on the connections that the Comercom has with his other commanders at the time. And it was very well. So I know that this is something it's doable.
I think that's a super and trustworthy basis for a future operating for a cross-domain commander, which is actually needed in the execution of MDO. That's a pathway in the journey that we are still, I think, developing the next concept after the next concept, which we still need to make it all, I think, understandable for everybody. And that's especially what you said in the confidence and trust building, exercising together. I think we talked about it. It's also in the set of what do you see within the five operational domains? Let's restrict it to the five operational domains. What type of efforts are undertaking now to build that? It's not just sitting together, have meetings together, exercise together. Is there anything else in the training or education part for a cross-domain commander that can facilitate the execution of or improve the execution of MDO?
Yeah, you're right, Ian. First of all, as I already mentioned, you need to prepare people to change their mindset, which is key. If they are still thinking as we used to wage war even two decades ago, this is done. We won't be able, even mentioning the five operational domain, they need also after that to understand the other domains, which is for the commander key. So the educational piece is really important. And for sure, next generation will be better than us, for sure, just because they probably integrate a broader, aspect of all the operation, all the cognitive aspect, all the virtual one, which is something very new for the commanders that are in charge right now. But and they will be better than us, for sure. So the educational piece is key. Training as well, just because when you train also, you consolidate, the distrust and confidence between the commanders, just because you know better each other, you try to prepare it. Even if the commander is always a busy agenda all the time or a busy calendar, this is really important just because you will save some time during crisis and conflict anyway, just because just a phone call, sometimes it's okay, we are on the same sheet of paper, and it is the process all the time when you have this kind of which is also important. They need really at the commander's level to understand that the capability now to command is not to own the assets or the capabilities, which probably is the most challenging thing. Just because people now that are in command, they used to have this kind of, okay, I have my, area of responsibility, the assets, or I can do whatever I want inside. This is no more the case. This is thinking broadly, that 360 degrees that cyber can provide, and the timing is different. If you want to have some effects in the cyber side, it means that sometimes it could take months, years, just to provide one kind of effects in that. So need to integrate and to understand the other domain to be better prepared for this kind of multi-domain operation in this side. But change of mindset and just get rid of this owning things, I think it will be a huge progress already. And better prepare the commanders, and not all the commanders, just because sometimes at the commanders level, they are all aligned. Or start online, but at the staff, this is a different story, just because they don't have the same knowledge sometimes. So, and that's why the C2 is really important in there, just because the commander needs to be sure that his staff and all the people that are under his command is well aware about his fault, his thinking, how they will. I forget to mention that, probably, I don't know if you're talking about the distributed C2 or something like that, but which is important is that the directive from the commanders needs to be very clear.
Yeah, that's why I'm mentioning it. If we're because we talked about synchronizing with non-military actors, we need to get our internal household and organization and orchestration really excel in it. So we can do that synchronization with non-military actors. And I think it's what you mentioned as well, that I think it's the ownership experience, trust. It's also, I think they describe it in the concept as you need to have the assurance that we can work together. That's building relationships. I think you mentioned one of the exercises in the Trident juncture. I think Steadfast Jupiter 23 was, I think, a really good example, as we did internally in the military with the commitment of all the commanders that for the first time that I saw this type of dynamic and really showing the challenges within the commander control. But an essential element, what was missing to make the next step for MBO, was like the non-military actors in the exercise to synchronize it. And to see also, I think, the dynamics and the information that they put in, or maybe dilemmas that they will put in, or I wouldn't call it ownership issues, but maybe coordination and authority issues. Those will bring a completely different dynamic, I think, to the whole C2 enterprise, which is like, okay, how will that evolve and the responsibilities, where will it end up to still create that effect that we need together, that we want together?
Yeah, that's true. But I would say that even if it's perfectly correct, and we need to focus on the non-military instrument of power for this kind of multi-domain operation, but needs to be prepared to do that. If you're not able, even inside the military environment, to implement the multi-domain operation, it will be hard to integrate the non-military one. So that's why I'm always a man that are thinking about incremental step, you know, when you want to achieve a goal or reach an objective. Don't go too far ahead at the beginning. Build the brick, you know, brick by brick, just to be sure that we have a consolidated a basis at the beginning, and after that you can go through. That's why I can understand that they're focusing more on the military side at the beginning, and after, for sure, need to go step forward.
And do you see that for a last question, in the especially in the space domain and that development, is it for NATO needed to create own space capabilities, or is it like in the developments where we are currently already are, I think, in the speed, a good trustworthy relationship that we have, that we already can have that assurance that we can create the effects together?
Naturally, I don't think that we need right now to own the capabilities in NATO. Nations are separately linked to the NATO Space Center right now to create the effects that we need. So I don't see in short notice the need to do that. And if you're able to visit the Space Center, you will see all the tools that they are already using and the connection that they have already with all the nations. And the nations are really pushing and helping really NATO to get the capacity and the understanding of what's going on in space, which is key, just because NATO is nations.
Yeah, so I'm really curious, as we have you here, sir, towards your own experience, because you have been with the deputy commander of AIRCOM in 2022, when we had the full-scale invasion of Russia into Ukraine. And I'm really curious on you have been involved, of course, as a NATO senior mentor ever since as well. So how did that impact immediately the battle rhythm within the command? What changes did you see? Can you give us a little bit light on that as you are here at the table?
It's a very good question, just for several reasons. First of all, just to explain, when with General Reagan in command at that time, when the Russian invaded the Ukraine, you have to notice that 4 hours after the invasion, we have a full dedicated CAPS, combat air patrol, at this side of the NATO territory. 4 hours later. And good example about all SSIs and C2, how it works, just because months ago, we prepared that with all the air chiefs from all the nations. And I have to mention that how the Comaircom built this trust and responsibility, trust and confidence with all the air chiefs. every 6 months, we have a NATO Air Chief Symposium. It means that during this 1.5 day, just because there's an icebreaker at the beginning, which is, I think, the most important thing, just because people, you know, talk to each other and know better each other. And the Comecon at that time really explain what will be his plan, and how he will discuss that with SACEUR. So I would say till November, we know already how we will go through if it's contingency plan. Of course, we call it prudent planning. And just because you know that at that time, NATO are not able to plan anything. So prudent planning, and with all the air chief, they're all in line with the Comecon, and we are able, even if the assets at that day, the 24th February, 22, or 24th, yeah, February, there are some nations that are not toward the aircraft to NATO at that time. We have the tactical control on the air at this side of the AOR, but the control, operational control is still under the nation, and it works. A perfect example of the SSI, supporting interrelationship. And so, and we did it for about, 2-3 weeks, about that. After that, we adapted right now what we call air shielding to this part. Just to take this example about how it works at that time during the conflict. And the second part of your question.
Yeah, so I wondered, have you seen that, like, real permanent changes in the battle rhythm and in the...
Good, very good question. Forget to mention that. Multi-domain operation is part also about how we synchronize the battle rhythm. Just key. Now shape is building its capacity as a warfighting headquarters. So, and it's mandatory that it will have a prioritization, I would say, responsibility with the GFCs, and needs to be coordinates GFCs in itself with all the theater components command as well. So the battle rhythm has changed a little bit, just because most of the time, every component commander, every GFCs are focusing about their own battle rhythm. And now they really needs to integrate that, which is a very huge challenge, just because people needs to think now priorities. They are not able anymore to have all this, briefing that we used to have for years. They need to focus mainly on the synchronization part. And so the battle rhythm and all this synchronization for the multi-domain operation will have an impact, for sure.
You triggered something with me when you said that you are coordinating with all those air chiefs. And then I think about the Dutch situation. And I assume that if you look at all the 32 nations, those air chiefs have different roles, and not all nations have actually an operational level within their nation. So sometimes those air chiefs are just the deliverables for trained troops, and sometimes they have a bigger influence perhaps on the national operational level. So how do you, in AIRCOM, how have you seen that those differences been played out? How did you work with that? Because it's not only, I think, that you have to coordinate just with Air Force chiefs or air chiefs.
That's true. The aim of this NATO Air Chief Symposium is mainly, first of all, to put everybody at the same level of knowledge, which is important, and to understand what is the requirement from AIRCOM. So after that, we know that every nation has its own I would say, agenda, his own constraint or political difficulties, or this is not new. But after that, every air chief has a good understanding about what is really needed. And this is really there. And after that, it is the coordination piece, meaning that there's some nation. I won't talk about small nation or big nations. Every nation can provide a huge and last topics that is very important, just to take this example about UAVs. This is high, low mix, as the this was mentioned. It means that that some nations can provide with cheap, cost entities or capabilities that are very important. Why now? Look at about Ukraine. It's a drone war over there. So it means that we can, bring the some of the nations to think differently and to go to their political level to say, hey, for us, it might be interesting if we want to be, connected and stay with the inside the air domain, to be focusing more on that part, on that part. And this is really the aim, to bring or to get all the nations aware about what's going on. And the war in Ukraine is a very good, moment or period, just to leverage all the capability that we need, and that's why it's so important. For sure, all the nations are not reacting the same way, but and we know about that. And it's not when we are waging a war, what we call the caves. That there's a lot of nations that put some restraint just because they didn't, and it's fine. We are not complaining about that, just because every nation has its own, I would say, political challenge. But after that, this is really important that people know about what is really required right now and how we can help them to reach, I would say, their political understanding.
And that's, of course, about the plan for now. And then I always wonder, there's always, this relationship between now and preparing for the future, where the transformation lies, when we want to transform to the future force that is MDO enabled and so on. So then at the national level, within all of the services, there is a transformation going on at the same time, towards the future. And I always wonder where, when you are preparing your service for that future, maybe you can give some insight in how that now is going on in France, when you're looking at that future. How are you transforming? Is there an active relationship with Aircom, obviously, but that's more about today, and an active relationship with the Joint Forces Commands, which might be also very necessary to see what's needed for the transformation. And how's the active relationship with, when you look at that future in the with the other parts of NATO that look at that? Can you give some insight in that controversy a little bit between now and?
No, when you look about the transformation of each forces or air forces for the air domain, it's mainly linked to ACT, just because this is the NDPP process. We know about it. Whatever you think about it, just because I really think that we need also a more, and ACT is working on a DevSecOps process. For sure, just because this is really the needs right now. But from a national standpoint, this is all the dilemma, or challenge that you have, because you wanted the capability right now. and we know that sometimes it will take some sometimes to do that. So the most important thing is that nation never forget that the aim is the operational level. It means that it's to do operation. And if we are focusing about all the time how we need to fight right now, it means that we'll get the connection to the people that are in charge about all the transformation and the procurement and all that stuff. But if they are not linked to the operational stuff, this will be very hard to achieve. So, and there's no silver bullet for that, for sure. And needs to be just like the discussion we had about ACT and ACO. They need to be linked all the time. This is not transformation in itself in one part and the operation in the other part. They need to talk each other all the time just to be sure that the needs or request is really focusing on exactly the requirement.
As General Lavigne says, the future is now.
Yeah, the future is now. This is exactly that.
I'd just like to bring it back a little bit what you mentioned. I think noticed it in that coordination and information, and you used the NATO Air Chief Symposium as an example. Would you also not translate that facilitates a better NATO standardization process and the understanding of it and the dynamics of it, what we need to continue? And I think every domain does it by itself.
What is focusing on the NATO Air Chief Symposium report or feedback. This is all about standardization. Procedure, how we can help better. And the COMAIRCOM call it now, this is not synchronization by design, but this is interoperability by design. Just because we need to think about it till the beginning.
Yeah.
And after we build something. So, and it's not about, I would say, capabilities itself. It's about C2. It's about all the structure that we are building. It's about, so it's really the most important thing by design.
Yeah, because I think also I fully agree, because it also brings back what you see in what you mentioned as well with Ukraine and the drone type of war, because we are used to the fixed C2 settings and structures that we have right now. But I think that forces, if you look at our resilience part of it, the distributed and dispersed C2 will be a need. It is a requirement. That's what basically I think we are faced with, which is more focused and has more challenges on to continue that interoperability. I don't know if you have any experience yet or had with the distributed or dispersed C2, but I think that's a really needed and interesting part still.
Oh, the dispersed C2, this is something that we have already during the Cold War. This is how it works for years in different, area locations. We develop more now on the air domain what we call the ACE concept. I don't know if you already heard about it, the Agile Combat Employment, which is part also of the dispersed C2 as well, just to be sure. But need to think about it's and Finland as a good, structure for that, just because it's not about only putting some capabilities outside of their own, platform. But it's also thinking about the C2, how you put the ability to get the information, the ATO, air task order, at the right time, at the right place, and so on. So this is all this distributed C2. And also, just because to do multi-domain operation right now with the in a contested area, you need to delegate to the lowest level. And it means that you need to bring the information to the lowest level, just to be sure that they are well aware about what's going on. Coming back on the clear the energy from the commander, just because if it's clear, it means that there's no, doubt in his mind what he has to do, and all is linked on that. So we need to think also about the resiliency or the survivability, we call it, just because the distributed C2 will help just not to focus all the entities on the same, area and same place with only on commanders and his staff. This is normal. This is all coming back to the principle of the Cold War. And there's a lot to say on that.
Yeah, thanks, and I'll hand it over to the director to wrap it up. I think it's perfect.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. It has been a fascinating talk. I just wanted to ask you whether there's any important C2 topic that you actually missed, you can address it now. Perhaps you have a tip, for instance, for the current and future ACO commanders.
The most important things really, and I could notice that during all my career, is if you have and if you take time to build trust and confidence with all the level, it could be military, non-military, with your subordinate, with all the other commanders, this is key. And you will save time at the end, for sure.
Thank you for that. So not owning all the assets yourself, trust and build that trust and start it today. That's what I take away, sir. Thank you very much for this fascinating discussion.